You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Our next story looks at the technological solutions that could fill the gap in mental health care, but often this is quite alluring. They can be regarded as a cheap, scalable way to solve the knotty problem of mental distress without requiring investment in people, communities, and broader causes of mental ill health, such as racism, poverty, or the way we design our cities. Now, I spoke to Karen Mathias, a senior lecturer from the University of Canterbury, on the matter, and I started off by asking her about her thoughts on these mental health service apps and whether or not face-to-face services were key. Here she is now.
I think, of course, things are more simple than black and white. So there are apps, and there are some that are filling a gap because we've got such a poor level of access to mental health services. And I think that's probably a really important point, that when there aren't enough services, people just really want to make a difference for when people are in mental distress, and so come up with apps as an option. But I don't think that there's many instances where an app can solve a mental health problem. And ultimately, it's really important that the government invests in kanohiki te kanohi, meaning face-to-face care with human relationships, because that's really where the evidence says you can make a big difference.
In 2021, there was a 6,500% increase in doctors recommending apps to patients, and this growth is a response to the growing problem of the unmet mental health needs, the shortage of clinicians, and the lack of access to mental health care here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, which I'm sure we're all aware of. Is there sort of this growing in use of these apps?
Yeah, so there is. It's massive, and it has been, obviously the pandemic has really sort of triggered this with the sudden move of all sorts of healthcare onto a virtual platform. So there's a huge increase in referrals and sending people to apps because of the lack of services, but there's also lots of evidence that people are using the apps, and I think where they often can be useful is for people who aren't in a really dire, highly distressed situation, but who are looking for some prompts to manage a bit of stress in their lives and to live more attentively, mindfully, maybe using some meditation processes. And I think those are the ones where it can be quite useful. So, there's lots of evidence that people use them, but that probably we haven't really got the evidence yet to say mental health apps are used consistently over many months and solve mental health problems. That we don't have that evidence currently.
Do you think that within these apps, it kind of broadened things out quite a bit?
Yeah, and I think we use this word mental health, and often it's used to mean poor mental health or mental ill health. And in other settings, it's actually about good mental health and keeping yourself healthy. And for example, the Mental Health Foundation has some really excellent programs like All Right, and which has had a mix of digital and actual content. So I think it's really important to be a little bit more sort of differentiating and to say, well, there's mental good health, there's mental distress, there's people with mental health problems or mental illnesses which, you know, need active support from mental health professionals. And there's quite a spectrum, and I would say that all of us on a bad day would, you know, fit somewhere. On a good day or a bad day, will be somewhere along their spectrum. So it's the terminology is quite imprecise, and I like using the term mental distress because it's not really stigmatizing, and it indicates people could be anywhere on the spectrum. But I also use the word severe mental distress or severe mental health problems to indicate people who often are quite disabled by the symptoms and experiences that they're having.
Yeah. Now, last question. Obviously, there's not enough studies to really assess whether or not mental health interventions can improve one's mental health status or even, you know, strengthen mental health long term. Is there anything else which goes beyond technology that you think we need to move into here in Aotearoa New Zealand? I was speaking to someone not too long ago about getting better at understanding mental health related issues, regardless of what it is, whether it's anxiety or depression, and gaining a better understanding of what it's like dealing with that. Obviously, it can be quite vague to some, and even if, say, your mate, your brother, your mum, you know, sister, anyone is dealing with something like that, it can often be quite hard. Would you say that there needs to be a lot more education, and maybe even an app which does just that, educates people on mental health?
I would definitely agree with your first point, and I think quite a lot of this is about skills and competencies, that we know that when any of us are feeling stressed or mentally distressed, if people listen to us actively and well and provide psychosocial support, meaning kind of caring for our own well-being without needing medicines, we can actually address a lot of mental health problems through active, reflective listening and support. But those are skills that many of us don't have, and we need to find ways to build them. Also understanding maybe what are symptoms that we, or signs that we should be concerned about, and when do we really encourage a family member to get more professional support, which is a really core knowledge base that we really would like everyone in New Zealand and Aotearoa to have. So I totally agree with that. I think that an app could work for some people, but we do also really need to look at ways of spreading information that can cover people who are older and don't use technology well, and people maybe with disabilities or English as a second language or less literacy. And that's one of the really big challenges with apps, is that they can't meet the needs of all people, and the people typically left out are often those who are disadvantaged by the structures of society. So that's why I'm kind of quite big on saying it can't only be apps to solve our challenges on mental health knowledge and skills.
That was Karen Mathias, a senior lecturer from the University of Canterbury, speaking about a technological approach to mental health service.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.